Welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast for the Rush Hour with Andrew Embley, Katie Lamb, myself, the anchor, Leechy, and Joel, the producer. And of course, as always,
pointy pineapples.
Pointy pineapples.
Should we
guys.
Do it at the same time?
No, I like... enjoyed that it was just the two of us, the people that sort of are the glue of this show.
I agree.
Do you want to do it again?
Pointy pineapples.
Oh, I didn't say
Katie
it.
Didn't forget. So the whole idea, of course, of pointy pineapples.
Pointy pineapples.
The whole point of pointy pineapples is
to come up to us at any bar, wherever you find us, and say pointy pineapples, and we will buy you a beer. You have to be the first person. It will not be repeated. And Embers, you actually had an actual pineapple in your pocket for your brother's Bucks show over the weekend. Did anyone come up?
I did tell people that I was going to be at the Bassendean Hotel with a $50 note in my pocket, and no one came up and said 40 pineapples to me.
We did have number one ticket holder Mitch from Gosnells on the phone for the Today show. I did ask him. I said, no luck finding Embers at the Bassendean Hotel? And he's like, nah, I sold my house, so I went out drinking.
Good call.
Well, there you go. You should have come to the Bassendean Hotel for a bit of a drink.
Yeah. But he's got a four-day weekend coming up for Easter, and wouldn't it be great just to interrupt Embers while he's having like a great family moment with his kids, chalky eggs. Oh, what a glorious day in Perth. Oi, pointy pineapples, Embers, go buy me a beer.
Now, Embers, if someone, say, sidles up to you at Optus Stadium just before you're about to start the footy, would that count?
Not sure if it does. Does it have to be at a pub?
No, I feel like it needs to be carried around at 50
for the rest of all.
Embers will be lining up at the Canfield for 4 hours while the footy's on.
Be honest, Embers, you spent that $50 night.
Yeah, I did. I did. I spent it the other night. On a few beers.
Race 3. Flemington.
Yeah, race 3, number 4. Yeah, that's
good. It's
absolutely gone.
All that. Today.
Stinker.
Do you have a cold?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I've had hay fever today.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that about? Because I've...
You seem very COVID-y to me.
COVID-y, you reckon? Oh, don't say that.
And do you know what?
No, no, Katie's all about surround herself with people that have COVID.
Yeah. I am constantly trying to get COVID from people to get some time.
And I heard COVID lasts for 3 days. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, done by Thursday night, and then the public
holiday. There's only three shows
fantastic.
To go.
Spit in my mouth!
But Katie, you do realise, I'm pretty sure most companies' laws they have this day because of... how far we've come with COVID is once you've stopped having symptoms, you're back into the office.
Yeah.
Well, no, at this company, if you're testing positive, you have to stay home.
Well, I think you might want to double check that.
Just want to bring up the fact that Katie Lamb said spit in my mouth far too easily before.
Spit in my mouth. Give the show.
Who's your lame friend on holiday and when were you caught red-handed? Plus a whole heap more. Here's your podcast.
20 pineapples.
20 pineapples.
Has anyone ever spat in your mouth?
That's tomorrow's.
Got the touch? Download Tab Touch. What are you really gambling with?
From Roebuck Bay to the Roe Highway, got my ice mocha from Dome Cafe, the super pizza floriette in a loo wateroo and Esperance too, across Albany and the Gloucester tree
with Katie Lamb and Andrew Embley.
From the greatest city in the world, it's time for Triple M's Rush Hour with Andrew Embley and Katie Lamb.
Right now, 1-3-3-5-3. Who's your lame friend on holiday?
Who's your lame friend on holiday and why are you never travelling with them again? Mm. All right. So the reason we're talking about this, I just want to paint you a little picture, Embers. So we're over in Ibiza and we're having a great time and we have booked a day bed at O Beach.
I've never been to Ibiza, but I've got a fair understanding in Embers' sort of little brain of his what Ibiza would be all about.
Well, I was there 2 years ago, wasn't I? So I was there 2 years ago, and I swear to God, you drink all of it, right? And you can book a day bed at O Beach, and there's a great menu. You can just get, you know, get your chips and croquettes and pizzas.
Bit of hangover food.
Whatever you want, you know, because you need a setup for the day.
Of course you do.
You're partying all day. There are famous DJs there playing all this kind of stuff. You're raving.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right? So we're having a great time, but we look over and this is the lame friend on holiday because whilst everyone is drinking and popping bottles and you know...
popping bottles. Sure.
And eating delicious food, there is a British influencer. He goes by the name Jim Skin on Instagram. He has whipped out a plastic container with his meal prep.
What? In Ibiza?
He's obviously an influencer and is a fitness guy. And whilst he's on holiday and he's traveling around and he's partying, all his mates are going nuts. He has gone, sorry, guys, I can't eat that. I need to have my own meal prep.
He's got his 120 calories in his little protein lunchbox.
And you know what? I remember at bag check on the way in, I'm very surprised they let him bring in his own meal prep because he cannot bring in, you know, X,
There's
Y,
There's a lot
Z.
of bags getting checked when they go in there, for sure.
A lot of bags being checked and confiscated.
Yeah,
so 133353, who's your lame friend on holiday? Because I've been travelling with one of my friends. Everywhere we went, she just got a chicken salad.
A chicken salad?
Just a chicken salad. Just a
you're
salad.
You're on holidays.
And I was like, don't make me feel fat now just because I'm eating everything. And she's, I'll just get the salad, thanks. I was like, oh, lame.
That is so lame. I would have to say that I'll put my hand up. I think I'm the lame friend when I go on holidays.
Yeah, that
And the reason why
me.
Is because I take my pillow everywhere.
What?
My pillow.
Your
so,
pillow.
So everywhere I go, I used to always take my pillow, right? And so I can sort of understand, you know, when you're preparing for a game at the MCG, you want to bring your own pillow. But on a football trip, right, I still bring my own little pillow, right? So we had this little trip up north. So Dean Cox has got this little, you know, place sort of up in Karratha. It's called The Shack. So it's just out on the water there. So we went out there, we go fishing, but I take my own pillow. And he said to me one day, he goes, what is that doing here? And I said, well, it's my pillow. And I said, he said, mate, I'm just going to give you the tip that that's not going to be here tomorrow. I said, mate, it will be. Anyway,
no mistake.
The pillow disappeared. Saw the pillow again. I said to Dean, I said, maybe see my pillow? And he goes, mate, listen, I haven't seen it, but if I'm a guessing man, it's probably floating somewhere in the Indian Ocean right now. Yes,
yeah,
so I never saw my pillow again. Yeah, I love my pillow. So if anyone's seen a pillow,
yeah,
it's a bit wet right now. I like it back.
133353, who's your lame friend on holiday? Why are you never travelling with them again? Maybe they're on a budget or they eat healthily and it's like, oh, my God, have
Grow
a drink.
Up.
Yeah.
Shove a piece of pizza in your face.
Shove something in your mouth. Anything. Ben's from Swan View. G'day, Ben.
How are you?
Yeah, good mate.
Ben. Who's your lame friend on holiday?
He was a Mark.
Mark. Lovely.
He
and what did Mark do?
Well, initially he left his passport. We went to get on the plane. The passport was already expired and was later joined us in Bali. And we're going to go out for tea and all he'll eat is potato chips.
Just potato chips in Bali. You know what? Bali has some of the best restaurants and best food. You can't waste it on potato chips, Ben.
It was embarrassing. He wouldn't try anything. But get this, the real embarrassing bit, unless he dunked them in vinegar, he wouldn't touch them.
What the hell?
We had to go and buy a bottle of vinegar. It was the biggest mission to buy vinegar in Bali just so he could dip his hot chips in vinegar.
Is he 12 years old?
My goodness,
he's like in his 30s plus, mate. It was so embarrassing.
I tell you.
The worst bit was he brought his kid with him and they were just as bad.
All right, Mark is officially lame.
That is so good.
Get on you, Ben. Let's go to Dave in Hammond Park. Hey, Dave.
Hi, guys. How are we?
Yeah, welcome back to you, Dave. Who's your lame friend?
Oh, my mate was Shane. We went on a Kentucky tour through Europe, and the perfect timing was we going to the Oktoberfest. Righto, mate, let's go. He said, no, I'm going to see the Glockenspiel. I went, we'll see you later. So I headed to the Oktoberfest. I think I got home about 6 in the morning when the bus was leaving. And I was still drunk, obviously, and he's sitting in the front seat all chirpy, and I'm like, you idiot, you've missed the best night of your life.
Oh, my God. Oktoberfest is such a bucket list thing as well. Like, I can't believe he didn't want to go and be involved in that.
Oh, don't worry. That's what I said. Last trip he ever come on with me.
Shane is also officially lame.
Shame on you.
One girl in my netball club, we would go to the netball trip down south and she'd have to bring her own veggie sticks because she was the only vegetarian, bless her. She'd just whip out these carrot sticks when we're just like chowing
down
on steaks.
I'll be getting a stick and I'll be whacking her with it. Ash is from Two Rocks. Wow. G'day, Ash.
Embers, Katie, how are we?
Good,
hey,
mate.
Ash, who's your lame friend on holiday?
Well, he won't be listening because he lives over east, but his name's Jono.
Jono. Sounds lame.
So lame, Jono.
So we're travelling through the US, 2009.
Yep.
Out for a night. Decided that he wanted to impress a few girls by jumping off a train station roof.
Oh,
shattered both his heels.
Oh.
Yep. Ruined our night. Had to carry him back to the hotel. No travel insurance. Absolute turkey.
Travel insurance. How much was he out of pocket, Ash?
He flew home with two broken heels and had surgery in Australia. So from New York, so wow, that was good for him.
Two ankles then, to two cankles.
Yeah, well, 6 years later, we all decided to go on a trip to Bali, same group of friends. First night out, dancing on a table, he falls over, lands on a beer bottle, splits his bottom right open.
His bottom?
Gives himself two
his
holes.
Bottom?
Give himself two holes.
Wow. Pretty lame, Milhouse. Wow.
Yes, yes. So he spent the rest of the trip in hospital. So.
Hey, fair to say, Jono's not getting an invite to your next overseas holiday, Ash.
Hey, how's this? He's having his wedding in Bali at the end of the year.
No Bintang bottles around, please. No table dancing.
No table dancing.
Unless the missus into that, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, hey, don't knock it till you try it. Jono, Mark, Shane, you're all late.
It's time to find Perth's smartest suburb.
How good is Perth?
North versus South. Battle of the Burbs.
And South lead 4-1, Embers. Can North come back and take over?
I think they can. They got off to such a good start. I think they've got a little bit complacent. Yeah. They were winning so easy. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know what, we might just sort of skip these next couple of Battle of the Burbs and just wait till it gets a bit more exciting. Now they're under a bit of pressure, Lammy.
They are.
Because they've been beaten up a bit last week.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be welcoming right now Gemma from Balga. She's representing the North. Hello, Gemma.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Are you feeling the pressure, Gemma?
Not at all.
Good. I love it. She's confident. She's smart. Is it a Dr. Gemma or anything like that, is it?
Oh, it depends who you ask.
Doctor in some things, just not medical. Yeah. Love that. You'll be taking on Greg from Hilbert. He's representing the South. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how you going?
Sound a bit awkward, Greg. You are. I think you sound pretty confident too.
Yeah, mate, always confident. You got to be, don't you?
Yeah, you have to be. No, I'm with you.
Gemma, your buzzer is North. Greg, your buzzer is South. It is the first of 2 points that wins and puts a point on the board for their side of the river. Question one.
Lammy, far away.
Name a place in Perth with an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
North.
North.
Gemma.
Oh, my goodness. It's the Challenge Stadium.
It's not called Challenge Stadium, but it's a. I'm gonna have to buzz you out on that.
Oh, I hear what you.
Sorry, Gemma.
It was the old Challenge Stadium. You are thinking of HBF Stadium, but unfortunately, I would have given it to you,
well,
Gemma. But
we can't do that. Now. We figured that bit out.
All right.
I'm from North. I don't know these things.
All right. Do you want to start at it, Greg?
There's one in Scarborough Beach, I think. Oh, isn't there?
Excuse me. Greg, come
on. We can't have the Scarborough Beach one. You want to have another throw at the stumps, Greg?
No, I'm going to call you, mate.
All right, mate.
That was
a poor question by Katie Lamb first up. I do apologise for her. It is a Monday. I'm glad she's here, though. Question number two. Name an Australian reality TV show.
Yeah.
South.
North.
Oh. Greg?
Big Brother.
Big Brother!
Yes, well done.
Of course, Big Brother. Of course. Very good. Okay.
One of the originals.
This is question number three. Gemma, you need this to stay in the game. Mark for the win. Which of these two actors used to be a rapper? Mark Wahlberg or Jake Gyllenhaal?
Oh,
North.
No,
South.
Yeah, he was in straight away.
South. Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg! Wow,
Wahlberg, the
Wahlbergers. Hey. Well done, Greg.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Well done, Greg. Look at you, Gemma. You're gracious in defeat.
You're right.
My workmate Mark is never going to let me live this down.
Oh, no.
Don't tell Mark. Hopefully it's not Mark Wahlberg.
Where's
the
workplace, Gemma? Yeah. Where's the workplace?
We are at Work Australia in Alexander Heights.
Yes.
Okay. Well, shout out to you guys. And
unfortunately,
Challenge Stadium no longer. It is called HBS Stadium.
And before Challenge Stadium, it was the Superdrome.
It was too, wasn't it? Look at you showing some WA knowledge.
Modern Motor Trimmers, Australia's leading supplier and installer of Esri seats.
The 2006 Goldsmith Medal is Andrew Embley of the West Coast Eagles.
Triple M's Rush Hour presents Embers All Sports Report.
Let's start with AFL, Katie, and the West Coast Eagles yesterday, their first home game of the season. And unfortunately, they went down by 65 points to the GWS Giants.
Absolute pumping.
It was not great, to be completely honest with you. I think it's going to be a tough year for the West Coast Eagles. They were certainly outmatched by a team that's a lot more experienced than the Eagles at the moment, and a team that's expected to maybe play in a grand final or even win this year's premiership. They were going very well, the Giants. They certainly were way too good overall. West Coast did have some moments. So the first probably 15 minutes, they played some good football. They kicked a couple of goals. Now, you might have heard by name by them, oh, a guy by the name of
Harley Reid.
Yes.
Yes.
He did some very good things early, and probably the highlight off the day for the West Coast Eagles was this little bit of play on the outer wing in the first quarter.
The young start, Harley Reid takes the mark. Eagles fans looking forward to it. Dummy, the hand pass looks like the superstar gets it back again. He's come to play, Harley. Eagles have worked it down the far side. Kick inside 15. Harley Reid, sign him up for 10 years.
So good, yeah. It was a run, a carry, it was a link. He ended up getting shit mixed in the end, but he got back up the boy. And it's, you know, when you sort of haven't had much to cheer about, it's certainly got the West Coast Eagles supporters up and about a little bit early in that first quarter.
Do you reckon he's living up to his expectations at the moment?
Yeah, I thought he was really good on the weekend, especially his first half. Some of the things that he does, like, you don't want to compare players, but there's so much about Dustin Martin with him, with his fend off and how strong he is in the contest to be able to flick that handball. So we spoke to Josh Kelly post game, and the question was asked about Harley Reid, and he said, mate, the hype is real. Like, they rate him so highly out there. He's going to be a super player. So he needs time. Like all young kids, they do go missing for a little bit in the second half. He did, but he's going to get better with every game that he plays. But you think it's going to be a long year for the West Coast Eagles. The Fremantle Dockers, well, you could call them the comeback kings at the moment. They've done it again. They were down by 4 goals in their first game, and then they sort of came back against Brisbane and knocked them off. 33 points against North Melbourne.
I was getting so nervous because I had originally tipped North to win, and you said, nah, you know, Dockers will win, back him. So I did. I changed it. Thank God.
Yes, you did. You were texting me during the game going, what the hell are you doing making me change my tip to the Fremantle Dockers?
Well, you stuffed me up because I wanted to tip Geelong, so yes. I still haven't forgiven you.
Anyway, their third quarter was fantastic. Lukey Jackson's a star. Caleb Sarong's going to be an absolute champion off the Fremantle Dockers for a long period of time. Nat Fyfe, again, will get better with every game that he plays. So they're starting to believe the Fremantle Dockers. Alex Pearce outstanding at full back again. And huge game on Friday night. So, of course, we'll be hearing that live here on Triple M from 4 p.m. They take on the Adelaide Crows. Every chance they could be 3-0. So good start to the Fremantle Dockers. Now moving on to cricket. And West is best. Congratulations to our WA team. Take a listen to the moment when they won their third Sheffield Shield final in a row.
In the air. Oh, what a catch. And what a way to win it. Joel Parris with a screamer. And Western Australia, the benchmark of Australian domestic cricket, had their third Shield title in a row.
Amazing.
Great game as well, Joel Parris.
Well done. Yeah. Great catch, Joel Parris. Yep. Sam Whiteman, man of the match. He scored 100 in the first inning, set WA up. So outstanding, Adam Voges. They have done an incredible job at winning trophies. So I think I heard a stat where out of the 10 possible trophies that they could have possibly won in the last 3 years with the one-dayers. Yeah. They've won 9.
So that's they won 8 of the nine possible. Yeah.
Wow.
Insane. Unbelievable. Amazing. They are dominating. Adam Voges, I think one day has got every right to be coaching Australia the way that he's going. So congratulations to them. They'll enjoy the next week or so, that's for sure. And finally, can't finish without a bit of horse racing, Katie.
Oh, of course.
So on Saturday, there was a race called the Golden Slipper, right, which is the biggest two-year-old race in the country, right?
Yes.
Now, I've spoken about a horse called Storm Boy, was the favourite, right? Now, Storm Boy, for those people that don't know, was bought for about $450,000, so a very expensive horse. However, in its first three starts, it won some big races, and the biggest stud farm in the world, called Coolmore, decided to come knocking and bought the horse for a estimated $50 million.
No,
so the horse has been bought by Coolmore for $50 million, right?
Wow.
What an investment. Now, of course, Storm Boy was the favourite for the Golden Slipper on Saturday. Gay Waterhouse, she trains Stormboy. Yeah. But she also trains another four horses in that particular race. But as you can imagine, all eyes were on Stormboy. Take a listen to this audio off Gaywater House with her daughter and a few family members cheering on what she thought was going to be a Stormboy win.
Where's Stormboy?
On the fence.
Oh, on the fence. Yeah, I see. I see. Come on, Stormboy. Come on, come on. He's on the fence.
Come on, come on.
Come on,
come on.
Come on,
come on.
Go, Stormboy. Go, 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 go.
Stormboy. The filly, the filly, the filly. She's got it.
Got it.
So the audio the there, they're going, Stormboy, 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 Stormboy. Then there's a moment where Gay Waterhouse realised, oh, shit, Stormboy's not going to win. And then she realises one of her other horses has just snuck up the inside, right? And she's going, oh, the filly, the other one, the filly, the filly. Lady of Camelot came in and won.
Oh,
so
wow.
She ended up winning in the end but wasn't watching the horse that she thought was going to win.
Oh, no.
So fantastic audio there. If you see the vision on Channel 7, horse racing, it's out on socials at the moment. It's just fantastic watch.
But also the people that bought Stormboy for $50 million when he was originally bought for $450 and he can't even win a race. Like, that's embarrassing.
It's he's going to be like, a very he's going to be a very good horse, Stormboy. He becomes a stallion. He might not get a few more starts, but that's how it all works. He becomes a one of those the stallions where they sort of go in there and
yep, good
and make babies.
Gotcha. Yep, good.
Yeah.
Triple M's Wheel
Bin
of Fortune.
Brought to you by Totally Workwear. Tradies to nurses, high vis to hospo. At Totally Workwear, we totally love your work.
Oh, it's big money now, Embers. It is $15,400 just for guessing what is in our Wheelie Bin of Fortune. You win a wheelie big prize.
That's right. And of course, we are really keen to give it away today. But if we don't, there will be a clue given tomorrow morning, and I can assure you that this will be the biggest clue that you could possibly get, and I will be so surprised if it doesn't go off over the next few days.
Okay. All right.
That's just my tip.
That's your tip?
Yeah.
I'm going to back you in that. But it could go off right now. Sean is in Ellenbrook. Hello, Sean.
Hello, how are you?
Sean, we're going very well, and we are so hopeful, mate, that you've got the answer for us so we can give $15,400 away to you right now.
Brilliant.
What, Sean, have you been keeping up to date with all the clues, you know, the incorrect guesses? Your guess is a different guess, I'm hoping?
Yeah. Fantastic. I'm hoping this has never been guessed before, but I'm pretty sure it has, but we'll give it a go.
All right, Sean.
I love an accent, by the way, Sean. Whereabouts are you from? Scotland?
Ireland.
Ireland. Oh, I always get those two.
Don't call him Scottish.
I always get them mixed up.
That was so Irish. That was so Conor McGregor.
How did you get that wrong?
I apologise for her to you. Sean, all right, mate. $15,400. Please tell us what you think is in our wheelie bin of fortune.
Is it a bladeless Dyson fan?
Oh, good Lord. Right. Hang on. A bladeless...
Dyson.
Fan.
Bladeless Dyson fan. Okay, why a bladeless Dyson fan?
Well, Dyson is on the in between Hutton and Odin.
Yep.
Yes.
0 degrees. YMCA. It's seasonal. YMCA is Louise Dyson actually works or does something for YMCA.
Oh.
And yeah.
Wow.
Wow, you've just like picked it apart, and that's the best
guess we've
ever had.
The way that you have unpacked this for us right now is giving me goosebumps. Let's go straight to producer Joel. Producer Joel.
I don't see a singular goosebump on you, Embers.
Now, this is normally the time where we pick apart their guess, maybe a cheeky insult from producer Joel on how terrible it is, but after hearing Katie Lamb mix up this poor bloke's country, thinking he's Scottish.
I know.
But he's actually Irish. And as a ginger-bearded Scotsman, I'm just flat-out insulted and embarrassed for Katie, so you should apologise.
No
and
comment.
It's incorrect. That's not the right guess.
Wow.
Sure.
Oh,
mate, that was a really, really good guess.
Best guess we've had.
It's the best guess we've ever had.
Mate, make
Sorry.
Sure you are listening from 5:30 a.m. tomorrow because another clue is coming your way, Sean. So hopefully you might be able to get back on air and give us another call.
At that. So, look, as we all know, in January, Kate Middleton went in for abdominal surgery, right? So then weeks passed, months passed, and she was nowhere to be seen. The royal family hadn't made any announcements on how she was going or her whereabouts at that. So naturally, people just started speculating, right? Now it came a whole bunch of conspiracy theories, like William's having an affair, they've gotten a divorce and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Then finally she was spotted, that video was leaked, and she was spotted walking down the street with Prince William at Windsor Farm Shop. But people were saying, that's not Kate Middleton, right? The footage wasn't clear. People were saying, she doesn't walk like that. Oh, she's got a different facial structure. So the conspiracy theories.
Where is Kate? What's going on?
It was hashtag Kategate, yes. Right? Even Kim Kardashian was tweeting, on my way to find Kate. Like everyone was like, where is she? So I ended up just having a bit of a laugh at the fact that there was speculation that they were using a stunt double in public, yes. Right? So on Thursday, I posted a video basically making light of the situation, pretending to be the fake Kate Middleton they keep making go out in public.
Guys, don't make me go out again. They know I'm not Kate Middleton. I look nothing like her. It's embarrassing.
Well, we're not going to the Windsor Farm Shop again. That was ridiculous. Not one member of the public bat an eyelid. Two royals walking down, another one turns ahead. Come on. I even said Kate Middleton coming through. And was that filmed on a Nokia 360? Like, if we're going to do this, make an effort, yeah? Oh, also, this one's on me, but I accidentally wore my skinny jeans because I was having a skinny day. And then I was like, I've just meant to have had abdominal surgery. I would not, be wearing tight jeans. I totally forgot.
So you had a bit of fun with it.
Now, keeping in mind, I posted that on Thursday, right? The video was popping. So people were commenting, liking it. It was on TikTok, Instagram. Yes. Everyone was having a good time. Then on Saturday, I've woken up to the news.
Something.
Well, to the news. To the news that we all woke up to. That during the abdominal surgery, Kate Middleton's abdominal surgery, they found cancer. Now, I've woken up and I've gone, that is not ideal. So whilst my video isn't making fun of Kate Middleton, nor cancer, may I add, I, you know, posted this on Thursday, so before the news came out, I did feel like my video didn't age well. You know what I mean? Lots of content were out there, and then there started a few comments sort of started coming through, being like, you know, not happy with it. Oh, you must.
So you started getting a few negative comments.
Well, just started getting a few.
Of it?
Because people love the royal family, as do I.
Sure, and we
people
all love
get
the royal
very
family.
Sensitive, especially as soon as the word cancer is brought into it as well. It's a very sensitive topic. So I deleted it, but not without having just a little laugh at one of the comments, right? So one of the comments in capital letters, this person was furious. They posted, "Your trolling has made Kate Middleton make an announcement on a private matter."
Wow.
I was like, sweetie, I don't think my video reached the palace. Like, I don't think Meghan Markle follows me and sent my video to Camilla and was like, this is getting serious. Like, Kate needs to... I'm like, I'm flattered that you think it's made the palace. I really am, but I don't think my video had any impact on that.
You know, we feel for Kate and we hope that everything's going to be okay, but I can assure you the person that sent Katie this little text, this little DM, Kate Middleton didn't see Katie's video, decided I need to make a video of my own.
I mean, Julie Bishop's a big fan of yours. Maybe it has gone all the way to Kate.
I mean, a little Perth, you know, WA TikTok. If that reached the palace, we need to be making headlines, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully they get a survey book. A couple of teenage boys have been very naughty over the weekend.
What have they done, Lammy?
Well, they've broken into a home in Balcatta. They've stolen a couple of sets of car keys and they've stolen two cars and decided to go for a bit of a joyride. Now, they're driving around and police obviously have been alerted and they are following them. So they're trying to get away. Now, they're obviously driving, you know, around. And by the way, they're 14 and 17. So the 14-year-old is like, calm down. He probably needed a booster seat.
Who's driving, the 14 or the 17-year-old?
Well, no, they've stolen two cars.
Oh, they're both driving separate cars.
And so anyway, they've...
Can you get your license at 14 these days, can you?
No, you can't actually. Sure. Anyway, they've managed to try and get away in an attempt to get away from the police.
Yep.
They've taken a left and they've driven in and they've gone, oh, no, we've accidentally come to the Mirrabooka police station.
So they've gone to dump the car and run and they've found the Mirrabooka police station car park.
So in an attempt to escape, they've accidentally driven into a car park, dead end. So they've gone, oh, no, they've quickly jumped out, but then they're like, oh my God, we're at the cop shop.
And then they've tried to break into another house. They go, actually, this house is this is the Mirrabooka Police Station house. Oh, you're kidding me.
I cannot believe I did that.
Unbelievable. Jeez.
133353. When were you caught red-handed?
So I caught my daughter red-handed recently, right? So I went up into her room and I was going to say goodnight to her. And as I went into her bedroom, I noticed that there was like all these black marks on the carpet.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, Autumn, what the hell is going on here? And she goes, oh, Dad, sorry, it wasn't me. It was Van. And I said, Van, come up here. So Van comes up and I said, what is all these black marks on the carpet? And Van goes, Dad, I've got no idea what you're talking about. Right? And I said, Autumn, what's going on? Now, Autumn was in her bed and yep. she had the blankets sort of over her. As I've sort of grabbed the blankets down, I've noticed that she has dyed her hair black.
Oh.
And in the process, the black dye has gone all over the carpet. I tell you what, I was completely furious, but I will say I did get an apology from my daughter, Autumn.
Yeah, that's my bad, Dad. Probably not one of my smartest ideas. I'm actually normally pretty good at getting away with stuff. You actually don't know a lot of the stuff that I've done. But this time you got me. Congratulations. Will be the last time. Good job. Love your favourite child. XOXO.
Why do I not believe her when she says, this will be the last time? Because, no.
I normally get away with these kind of things.
Dave's in Hammond Park. Hello.
Hello, me again.
Yeah, good on you, Dave. Welcome back to you. You've always got a good story for us. Tell us yours now.
I remember years ago in Melbourne, one of the boys at work had his 21st birthday at the Essendon Football Club.
Oh, yeah?
So the great thing was one of the guys went to the toilet and he said, boys, come here quick, the cool room's open. So we decided to get about four boxes of Jim Beams and beers and head to the car. We're on our second trip and his dad walked out and said, boys, what are you up to? So we were caught red-handed with boxes of beer in our hand.
Oh.
And we were kicked out of the party and the guy at work wouldn't talk to us ever again.
Oh.
So we
said, oh.
But Dad's
caught
red-handed.
Caught red-handed, Dave.
100%.
Oh, so good.
Good
so
on you, Dave.
So good. Kylie's from Maylands. Welcome back to you, Kylie.
Hello.
Hey, Kylie, when were you caught red-handed?
So I was a cocky teen, like a 13, 14-year-old who was living in a mining town, so it was dusty as.
Yeah.
I was drawing penises all over someone's car.
Yep.
Okay, yep. Nice and immature, Kylie.
Yeah, I've definitely matured since then. I think, and I've waved to like one of my friends, and as I've turned around, the guy's like, "You're quite an artist there, aren't you? Do you want to wash my car?"
Oh,
oh no, that is
and
bad.
And I just looked at him, and I'm like, "Oh, I thought it was my friend's car," and he goes, "Mate, it's the only one in town."
Oh God, did you just die? Like, you just would have like sunk down. That would have been so embarrassing.
I literally was mortified, and then I realized it was one of my friend's dad's cars.
Oh, even worse. Yeah.
So I ran into them quite frequently after. Like, how's your art going? And I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, it was a joke that never stopped.
You never drew a willy again.
Free willy.
No.
No more free willies.
You weren't just drawing just the meat. You were drawing the potatoes as well, weren't you?
100%.
Okay, yeah. Just good. I mean, good, you know, good. You can't just draw, you know.
No.
You've got to go the full.
You need a couple of spuds.
Oh,
yeah,
do it right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
David in Waikiki. Hello, David.
How you going?
Going good, David. How you going?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Yeah.
Good. Tell us when you were caught red-handed, Dave.
Yeah, well, I was about 13 years old and I was in the shed in my dad's house and I was having a cigarette.
Yeah.
Which I shouldn't have been doing, and he walked out, he caught me, and he got a cigar, one of those big cigars, and he made me smoke the whole thing and do the drawback, and I was sick for about a week.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I love that was the punishment back in the day.
Oh, no, it was just like, all right, mate, you want to drink a can of beer? You drink the whole thing, you scull it. You want to have a little small dart? You have a big dart, like a big man.
Yeah, have a bloody cigar.
Yeah, that's it.
Because you're not actually meant to inhale the cigar. Are you?
I know, but he made me do it.
Yeah. And sick for a week. There yeah, I can't imagine a little 13-year-old boy. Oh, okay.
That's really great.
Now to our number one ticket holder of the rush hour. His name is Mitch from Gozzies. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, guys. How are we?
Yeah, going well, Mitch. Welcome back to you. Tell us, when were you caught red-handed?
I was out on one of my wild nights when I was younger on a Wednesday night, and I'd had a few sherbets.
Yeah.
And beside Black Betty's, there used to be a vacant block of land, so I thought I'd sneak up the back, had to relieve myself, and I had two ladies sort of sitting on the walls being the lookout. They started yelling out for me, so naturally in my sober state,
yeah,
I told them to be quiet, but little did I know that the police officer had joined them to watch the episode.
Oh, dear.
So I got caught with me pants down and red-handed.
Yeah.
That cost me $8.50.
I was going to say, so pants down plus, yeah, weighing in public.
Yeah, that'll do it to you, Mitch.
It went well.
It reminded me also of a mate Cliff, you know, Cliff Cady, and he had his 40th birthday party in the Barossa Valley a few years ago, and they had a lovely lunch. And anyway, as they walked out, someone had noticed that one of the guys at the table had put something in his pocket, and they sort of walked out of the restaurant. And they said, "Listen, you know, you've got something in your pocket, to check your pocket." And he pulled out the steak mignon. So the fillet of steak. He wasn't that hungry, but he really wanted to have it ate laid up. So he put the steak, wrapped it up in tissues and serviette and put it in his pocket and was going to eat the steak a little bit later on in the day.
I mean, that's why people ask for doggy bags.
He put it in his pocket. It's the end of
the world as we know it. Triple M's Rush Hour with Embers and Katie.
Got the touch? Download Tab Touch. What are you really gambling with?